Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Bryant.
Yeah, there he goes.
The Flash.
Here I am.
That's your new nickname, Flash, okay?
I just went and got this beverage and came back. You didn't even see me.
That is amazing. I didn't. Chuck is now the Flash. Charles W. the Flash Bryant.
I'm the anti-Flash, actually.
Well, that's funny that you bring that up, because that would make you, buddy, Bizarro Flash.
Yeah.
Did you see this? Surely you saw this.
Saw what? Bizarro something?
Yeah.
No.
Man, that was good, Chuck.
Really?
Yeah, so you just teed me up for my intro, and then I squandered it by complimenting you. But let me pick up again, okay?
Proceed.
Have you ever heard of a place called Hitray?
No.
H-T-R-A-E?
No. Is that something spelled backwards?
It is Earth spelled backwards.
Okay.
And Hitray first appears in the DC Comics canon in the 1960s. It is what we know and love as Bizarro World.
Yeah.
It is cube-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
Its inhabitants include Bizarro Superman, Bizarro Lois Lane, and their kids, right? And then over time, DC added, whenever they wanted to, more Bizarro characters, like the Yellow Lantern, Bizarro Flash, who is you, Wonder Zorro, which is Wonder Woman, but bizarre.
Is yellow on the opposite end of the spectrum as green?
No. I'm going to get to the problem
with Bizarro.
Is the cube
an opposite of round?
Stop. You're blowing my intro.
Okay.
Bat-Zorro, who's the world's worst detective, which is the opposite of Batman, who is the world's greatest detective.
He's not a detective.
He got his start in the Detective Comics.
Okay.
DC Detective Comics?
Yeah. 10 years.
Okay. So at any rate, the Bizarro World, which you also know from Seinfeld.
Yeah, of course.
And Buffy the Vampire Slayer, apparently.
That was a great Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, it really was. It's based on the concept of antimatter.
Yes.
Okay, so the idea that for every anything there is in this realm, in this state of matter that you and I occupy, there is somehow, somewhere out there, a mirror image of it.
Yeah.
The problem is with Bizarro World is, like you say, the mirror image of Earth is not a cube.
Right.
And although Batman would be the world's worst detective in Bizarro World.
Yeah.
There's some holes in it, but again, this is DC Comics.
Sure.
But the idea that it's based on is not entirely out of the realm of possibility. In fact, the idea that there is antimatter has been proven definitively by people way smarter than you or I.
Yep.
So let's talk about antimatter before we talk about the basis of this podcast or what it's really about, I guess you could say, which is antimatter spacecraft. I have to say, I'm excited about this one. This goes in our G-Wiz folder. Okay?
All right, Josh. It should be a pretty quirky subject.
Oh, God.
How much do you want to hit me right now?
No, it's not that. It's more just like pain.
Okay. Matter, Josh, was always typically defined as anything with mass that occupies volume. That's still true, but it's got sort of a different definition now because of antimatter.
Yeah.
atoms. Just break it down. I don't want to go subatomic yet, but let's go to atomic.
All right.
Everyone knows an atom has a central nucleus surrounded by a cloud of negatively charged electrons.
The humanist sign.
Held there, the electrons, by a magnetic field. The nucleus is a mix of positively charged protons, neutral neutrons, and when these atoms get together and have a party, they form a molecule.
Yes.
Eventually, you get enough molecules together, you're going to have stuff.
And
matter.
You have our podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's matter, which kind of helps.
Right. So antimatter is the exact same thing, but the opposite, right? All it is for every particle that you just described, there is another particle that has the exact same mass, but it has the opposite electrical charge.
Yeah.
So for electrons, there are positrons,
that's right.
Which are they're electrons with a positive charge.
Which is a cool name.
It is very cool.
Protons got screwed.
Yeah. Well, basically, yeah. Protons are antiprotons.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
And a positron.
And just like with atoms, with positively charged or regularly charged. How about this? We'll call it the straights, the normals.
Okay.
With the normals, you can build them into atoms and molecules and so on. Conceivably, you can build anti-atoms.
That's right.
Into anti-molecules, anti-whatever, anti-substances, anti-stuff, like you say.
Yeah.
So all of this was theoretical. There was a guy named Paul A.M. Dirac.
Smart dude.
Who he had the audacity to revise Einstein's theory of relativity, E equals MC squared. Dirac said...
That took some cojones.
It did, because he did it in 1928.
Yeah.
And Einstein's alive and well, and he's in full, you know, boxing shape. It's ready to go.
Yeah, let's bring it.
And Dirac revised the equation into E equals plus or minus MC squared, and then he stuck his tongue out at Einstein.
And Einstein said, well, if you want to get picky, sure.
Yeah.
I thought that was assumed.
He said, which of us wears floor-length fur coats? And Dirac just hung his head in shame.
We both just said a very poor Schwarzenegger almost, which Einstein kind of was.
Yeah, he was the Schwarzenegger of math.
So, he had the cojones to revise that. He was dead on, because they actually proved this since that time.
Like 4 years later.
That antiparticles do, in fact, exist.
Yeah. Have you heard of Carl Anderson?
Well, just from this article.
But, did you look into him at all?
No.
So, he won a Nobel Prize for this.
I did know that.
But He found evidence of positrons, definitive evidence of positrons.
Like a photograph, right?
Yeah, there's like a famous photograph of it. But he used a cloud chamber. And a cloud chamber is this very sophisticated piece of equipment. This guy built his own. But a cloud chamber is basically just like a cylinder with filled with gas that's saturated with water vapor. And then you shoot cosmic rays through it.
And see what happens.
And, well, the cosmic rays leave a trail in the water vapor. You can measure the density of the water vapor and determine what kind of particle just passed through.
Cool.
It wasn't enough for Anderson to create his own gas chamber. Not gas chamber. Cloud chamber.
Yeah.
Wow.
That'd make him a different kind of dude.
He did that, too. History has not rooted that one out yet, but right. Yeah, we're going to think differently of him soon. He created his own cloud chamber and put an electromagnet around it so he could direct these cosmic particles in a circle. And he noticed that when he did that, when he shot a cosmic ray through, something that had the same mass as an electron was creating an arc going in the opposite direction. He said, holy cow. That's a positron.
He said, what is that?
He said, hello, $1 million from the Nobel Committee.
Is that what he won?
I think that's what you win.
Back then?
Yeah.
Probably not.
But it was like $20 million compared to today.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anti-atoms were discovered by CERN, our buddies at CERN, that we've talked about like many, many times.
I know. I forgot about them since they didn't end the world.
Yeah. They created the first anti-atom and to the tune of 9 anti-hydrogen atoms. And at first, this is in 1998. I'm sorry, before 1998, they lasted 40 nanoseconds. But they were there.
Yeah.
And they had a record of it.
Yes.
But then they're like, poof, gone.
Yeah.
But still, quite an achievement.
Antiprotons were discovered in 1955 at the Berkeley Bevatron Atom Smasher, Particle Accelerator. What CERN's doing is something that's been around for a while, which is basically we figured out, and not we, meaning you and me, we have no idea. But other people have figured out that you can, using magnets, vacuum tubes, and beams of light,
mm-hmm.
you can shoot particles at one another and smash them together.
They're called atom smashers.
Exactly. That's another name for a particle accelerator. And when you smash them together, like they do at CERN, because they get the atoms going almost to the speed of light.
Yeah.
And then they smash them together. And when they do, all these particles are created, very exotic ones. That, like you said, the anti-atoms lasted for 40 nanoseconds.
Well, back then.
And what they think is that this is what the Big Bang looked a lot like, right?
Yeah.
So
they can collect them now.
Yeah.
Which is step one.
It is step one toward building an antimatter engine.
Yeah. Gotta have them.
But I guess the question is, well, let's talk a little bit about antimatter and what happens when antimatter comes in contact with regular matter.
It's pretty awesome. What happens is they collide and it becomes nothing but pure energy. It explodes. They both are annihilated and it's 100% efficient.
Yeah.
Creating pure energy at the speed of light.
It's the only, reaction, as far as we know, that is 100% efficient, like you said.
It's pretty awesome.
Where the mass of both the matter and the antimatter particles are transferred entirely to this explosion.
Yeah, you get some subatomic leftover, but it's nothing like, car exhaust.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not even like nuclear reactions. Like nuclear fusion, apparently only 3% of the mass of the atoms is transferred.
It's not
97% is lost as like heat and light.
Wow, that is not efficient.
No. Light is created by the particle or matter and antimatter interaction. But I don't think heat is. It's more like the radiation that's created is where you get all your energy.
There may be heat, though, actually, because I know that one of the first things you have to do is cool it down if they're storing it.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's just a guess.
So the problem is that this doesn't just happen when you smash our atoms together. This happens any time an antimatter particle comes in contact with its normal particle.
Yeah.
They annihilate one another. So there's this thing, there's this aspect of the standard theory which includes gravity.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't include gravity. It's everything else but gravity.
Okay.
Electromagnetism, weak nuclear force, strong nuclear force. And
gotcha.
It doesn't include gravity, which is like that's the holy grail, right?
Sure.
So the standard theory says at the beginning of creation, the Big Bang, there were an equal part of particles and antiparticles. The problem is within about 2 seconds since antiparticles and antimatter and matter cancel each other out through these violent explosions, there should be nothing in the universe except light left over from the first 2 seconds when all matter canceled itself out.
Right.
The fact that we're here proves that can't be right.
And that there's matter, but not antimatter.
Right. So there's a couple of explanations for this. And one is that there was, and maybe still is, or isn't, less antimatter than matter.
Yeah.
Right? So the idea is that over time, there was way more matter than we have now, but that canceled out all the antimatter, and there is none anymore. We can produce it now, but it doesn't exist naturally.
Right.
The second explanation is that it does exist, right?
Right.
It's just kind of sequestered off elsewhere in the universe.
Yeah, and there's sort of an addendum to the first one that it's not necessarily that there was more matter than antimatter, but there is a slight asymmetry between them.
Right.
And they've actually proven that. That was the NA48 experiment that CERN did,
mm-hmm.
and the KTEV experiment at Fermilab, and those are the two big daddies
with
this kind of research.
Okay. And not the Berkeley Bevatron?
I don't know about them anymore. But they directly measured this asymmetry and proved it. Like there is an asymmetry and that could have been, just that little bit could have been enough that matter won out essentially.
Right. And when you're talking about asymmetry, it's almost like a coin toss, right? Where when you create a particle.
Right.
Say 7 times out of 10, it creates an electron. And then the other 3 times it created a positron.
Right.
That's the asymmetry.
Yeah.
So there is evidence of that. But there's also evidence that there is a store of antimatter toward the center of the cosmos.
I couldn't find much about that. They think they discovered it in 1977, but I haven't seen a lot of follow-up.
Okay. So let's say it is there.
But have they done follow-up?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I have seen recent reference to that idea.
Also the year Star Wars came out. No coincidence.
If there is a deposit of antimatter,
yeah,
then it is conceivable that there is an anti-world there. There's anti-stuff there.
Wouldn't that mean there's no matter there, though? Because it would be colliding, right?
No. There's matter. It's just the opposite of what we have.
Oh, there's more antimatter than matter.
Yeah, because think about it. Like they at CERN, they created anti-atoms.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe there is no matter there.
Sure.
It's just antimatter. And it's everything, there's us, but it's the opposite of us. Bizarro Josh and Chuck.
Wow.
So
you mean two guys who are really talented at their jobs?
Right, exactly. Who have the adoration of people, not the scorn.
Right.
So, okay, for the time being, until we find out if there really is a store of antimatter at the center of the cosmos and figure out how to go get it.
And when they're open.
We have to create our own,
yeah.
Which is what CERN's doing now.
We can do it.
But CERN is doing... They're just not up to snuff. They're creating 2 to 3 picograms a year.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
Yeah, I've got a couple of realities for you here. Since the discovery of the antiproton in 1955, the total amount from LIR, CERN, and Fermilab that they've created amounts to less than 1/1,000,000th of a gram.
Okay.
And at the current rate, and it's picking up, the rate is, and that's what we're counting on here, but at the current rate, it would take hundreds of millions of years and over $1,000 trillion to produce 1 gram of antimatter.
Wow.
So they got to pick up the pace.
Yeah. Not only do they need to pick up the pace, if we are going to use antimatter as a propulsion device.
The ultimate propulsion device.
Because like we said, I mean, this thing is thousands of times more, produces thousands of times more energy than oxygen or hydrogen combustion, which is what we use now to power rockets, outer space, interplanetary rockets like the Mars rover.
Yeah.
That was hydrogen, oxygen combustion, right? This is thousands of times more potent, more powerful than those engines. If we're going to use that, we need to figure out how to make these engines more efficient.
I got stats on that, too, if you want.
Let's hear it.
1 kilogram of antimatter.
A kilogram?
Annihilating ordinary, like colliding with ordinary matter, can produce 10 billion times the amount of energy released with a kilogram of TNT.
That's a lot.
And a single gram of antimatter, the one that you know, is going to take hundreds of millions of years to produce, would get you as much energy as the fuel tanks of 24 space shuttles. A single gram. Isn't that nuts?
It is nuts. The problem is we're going to need tons of the stuff to make it to another star, which you know we're going to want to do. We'll be like, oh, yeah, Mars. Who cares?
About 10 grams, they think, could get you to Mars in 1 month, whereas okay. Right now it takes about 11 months to get there with regular fuel.
Right, exactly. So finally, we have at our fingertips the way to get from one place to another very quickly throughout the universe.
Yeah.
Without having to take theoretical wormholes or use warp drive or anything that hasn't been proven. This is possible if we can figure out how to store it and how to harness it correctly.
Yeah, create it, store it, use it.
Use it, right? So there's three big components to an antimatter engine is what we should call it. The magnetic storage rings, remember you can basically tell particles to do what you want, and that's just travel around in a circle by using electromagnets.
Sure.
So you need to store the antimatter that you create.
Yeah.
Until you're ready to use it. You need to be able to feed it efficiently. So basically you need like a particle accelerator. And then you need the magnetic rocket nozzle thruster, which takes that energy and uses it efficiently to propel
it through a thruster.
The spacecraft forward, right? Or backward, I guess, if you want to go backward really fast.
Very true.
There are some problems with it, right?
Well, yeah, notably the fact that they can't create very much of it right now.
Yeah.
Even though that's speeding up. They have, as of June of this year, I'm sorry, May of this year, mm-hmm. CERN has stored 309 antihydrogen atoms for 1,000 seconds, about 16 and a half minutes, and which is huge.
Yeah.
And I think they said like 4 years ago it was like nothing. So it's not growing exponentially, but they're really gaining steam with storing it. And pretty soon they hope to be able to store these antihydrogen atoms long enough to see how it reacts to gravity. Like, do these things fall up or down?
Nice.
Which would be pretty amazing.
Especially if they fall up. Robert Hume would be very pleased.
But that's still only 309 antihydrogen atoms.
Yeah.
Which is nothing.
No, but you said 4 years ago, like, this is theoretical, you know, 70 years ago. 4 years ago, we were just starting out. So,
yeah.
I mean, I imagine we're going to have some sort of breakthrough. This is why we need a population boom. The more people there are, the more
True.
Geniuses there are.
They did think about they could store them in magnetic bottles, but because like charges repel, though, that's a problem. So you can't just say, let's load this thing full of positrons because they repel each other and it's going to start leaking or something.
Gotcha.
So they can't store a ton of it at a time.
Huh.
And did you hear the Steve Howe guy?
No.
He's not Steve Howe from Yes. Or Asia. I think he was in Asia, too.
Wow, he was in Yes and Asia? That guy's like a prog rock god.
And GTR, I think, too.
Grand Theft?
Terrible. No. It was a terrible band called GTR.
What does it stand for?
Guitar. It was like three incredible guitarists in one band, and they had one album and some cheesy lead singer.
Huh.
Anyway, different Steve Howe, but he has an idea for a fission-based antimatter sail. So like a 15-foot diameter sail coated with uranium. And basically, he said the key is to store antihydrogen in the form of a frozen pellet that will evaporate slowly and create this reaction that hits the sail to propel it forward.
It's like a time release.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Who knows if that's going to work?
Another big problem is that antiprotons release high-energy gamma rays, which can penetrate you and your entire family and dissolve your molecules back into atoms.
Isn't that kind of the key, though, to the propulsion, or no?
Yeah, the
gamma
radiation.
Rays? Okay.
The problem is like, unless we figure out how to protect the astronauts, they're going to be exposed to it, too.
Well, and my question, too, which I didn't see anywhere in any of my research, was can a human go that fast?
That was my next question, too. Remember Colonel John Paul Stapp from
yeah.
the Murphy's Law episode?
Boy, do I.
And other things? he survived up to 46 Gs. That was the peak. But he also suffered redouts and lifelong trauma.
Yeah.
apparently right now, if you're on a rocket and you're being shot up into space on a hydrogen-oxygen combustion rocket, you experience 4 Gs, which is substantial, but it's certainly not life-threatening or anything like that.
Right.
But if this produces 10 times the amount of thrust,
that's
is that
what
40
they say?
Gs. This is my own, like, back
of
the envelope calculation.
Out
yeah, because remember, you can get there 10 times faster. So
yeah,
I was thinking maybe it produces 10 times more thrust.
Sure.
It's still 40 Gs that you have to endure the whole time.
Yeah.
So
for a month.
That's a month of 40 Gs of just under the most any humans ever survived.
So why are they even wasting their time with this? Because they could send, like, a robot or something?
But the thing is can a space shuttle even withstand that?
Like the textiles that we have?
Or is it going to? We have no idea. That's another whole aspect of this that's going to need to be worked out.
Right.
Like maybe we need to be stored in some sort of liquid for a month. Who knows? That's why this one's in the Gee Whiz folder.
I love it, though.
I do, too.
Pretty cool.
So I guess the point is you can look for antimatter spacecraft in the next couple of years.
Next
way too
billion
as they go
years.
By. That'll be cool. I can't wait to go see one of those launches.
NASA
will be
I mean,
over like that.
Didn't they say that, like, possibly in the next few decades?
Yeah.
So they must be ramping it up here soon.
Yeah. It's true.
Good for them.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing? It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
If you want to know more about the promise of spaceflight, the dream of man and bird alike, you can type in antimatter spacecraft, pretty cool stuff, in the search bar at howstuffworks.com.
That's right. And Star Trek fans, we know.
We know.
We know.
I think I said search bar at howstuffworks.com, right?
You did.
Well, that brings up then listener mail.
Josh, you're going to be pretty excited because we get periodic updates from our amazing fan, Sarah, the 11-year-old, who is now 14.
Yes, we've watched her grow up before our very eyes. She's awesome. She acts now, I believe, and plays at school.
Yeah.
She's become a very cool person, in my opinion.
All right. This is from Sarah, the amazing 14-year-old fan. Dear guys.
Oh, God. Really? Another letter from Sarah?
Well, that's not you.
No.
Boring.
I did not expect this.
John Hodgman.
Yeah.
How
hi.
Are you, buddy?
Wow. Hi, guys. It's me, John Hodgman. I'm surprised you didn't see me sitting here the entire podcast.
Well, it was weird. You literally materialized in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
Well, I was wearing my cloaking mechanism.
Okay. Well done. Wow. Thank
you. Yeah.
You've been here the whole time?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you think?
You know, it was good.
Okay.
I was satisfied.
Fair to Midland?
It wasn't long. It was a long.
Was it?
Yeah.
And getting longer?
Yeah.
We don't know when to stop talking these days, John.
Well, you know, it was an extremely interesting topic, but I feel like you guys went off into some weird pop cultural rat holes and stopped talking about the topic for a while, and then you came back to it in a
Yeah.
Mostly satisfactory way. So I would say, you know, right down the middle for you guys.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I just, it's just this letter column thing.
No?
Yeah, just the last few letters, you know, I just realized that they don't have a lot of me in them.
Okay, true.
You know what I mean? They're like from other people.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And that's not really what I want in a podcast.
Right, sure.
And, you know, so I just took the chopper down and I landed on the roof here at How Stuff Works Tower.
Great.
And I thought I would just come by and see you guys. And, well, all right, look, I just finished this new book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
There we go. You don't get the chopper out for just anything these days.
Well, almost anything.
Okay.
But it was the easiest way to get to Atlanta from Sri Lanka, where I was.
Great.
At my compound. I'm a deranged millionaire now.
Yeah, we've heard that.
And I've written a new book. This is the last book in my compendium of complete world knowledge, and it's called That Is All.
Yeah.
But is it the last book or like the last crusade, kind of confusing last book?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, this is the last one because not only is it called That Is All, mm-hmm. and I don't have anything else to write about.
Mm-hmm.
But also, as you know, in about 13 months or so, the world is going to end.
Sure.
Or at least the Mayan long calendar ends. Yeah. And probably will. I mean, look, we don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that the world is going to end in fire and flame and famine and flood and all the other Fs.
Yes.
Leaving only John Cusack alive.
Yeah.
That's the ancient Mayans who are saying that. Blame those guys. That's
right.
Not me.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, I am keeping John Cusack prisoner in my home just in case, because it just seems like something's going to happen, don't you think?
I feel a lot better knowing that.
Yeah. You know, those minds will say anything.
Because you just stick close to John Cusack, I think you're going to be okay. Yeah. That's the lesson that I took from reading the Popol Vuh, the ancient Mayan text.
Okay, good. Well, I mean, so, you're here.
Yeah.
Which is
well, see,
good.
That's the thing, because I used to be in all these ads and on television all the time. And
well, you remember,
the ads are over now because we sold all the computers, I think. And,
right.
Are they done?
Yeah, I think. I mean, why else wouldn't we be doing the ad? They must have sold them all.
Okay.
So good work for us. But that sort of left me just this idle, deranged millionaire.
Right.
And so I wrote the book and I arranged for a major publishing house to publish it. And I can just afford to take myself on book tour wherever I want. And today I decided to come here.
So you have a chopper now, if I may call it that.
You can call it a chopper. It's more like a helicarrier.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened? Your Zeppelin? It's crashed.
Oh. Yeah. You're talking about my speed Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Hubris?
Yeah.
That's the HZ Hubris.
Right.
Hodgman Zeppelin Hubris.
Yes.
That I bought off of Emo Phillips a mm-hmm. few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not only did that crash, it crashed and burned.
Was it something that...
Ironically given the name.
Yeah.
Was it something that had to do with Emo Phillips' uptake, maintenance, caretaking of this Zeppelin?
No. It was
so
in perfect...
He didn't sell you lemon or
it anything. Was in perfect condition when I got it.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I just like, you know, when I'm having a Zeppelin party, it's not a Zeppelin party unless you have a fire breather. Someone should have warned me,
right?
That Zeppelins have this problem with fire.
Right.
Like, if this were a known problem, this were a known issue, as they say in the software developing game, I wish I had gotten that memo. Right. Do you know what I mean?
It's not a bug. It's
or
a
at
feature.
Least in the Zeppelin, the radiogram that I should have gotten about that.
We should probably tell everybody this is not a video cast, so, you know, we have to often describe things that are going on. John looks great.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he's holding in his hand a hardcover volume of his third book, the third in the trilogy, That Is All. And it's handsome.
And John, we do want to mention in all earnest here that the book is coming out November 1st.
That is so.
It is called That Is All.
Yes, it is.
By John Hodgman.
Correct.
Available, where would you like people to buy it? Their local bookstore?
Well, they should buy it wherever they would like to buy it. They should support their local bookstore, of course, if they like. But it is available for pre-order now. At this moment, even
Amazon?
Though it is not November 1st. Oh, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, Powell's.
Great.
All your major book-selling websites.
Be smart. Buy this book. Because if you get the first two, you got to have the third, or you're not going to know how everything ends.
I don't want to say be smart. I think it's more like stop being a dum-dum.
Okay. Fair enough.
And buy my book.
Fair enough.
And if you would like to know what it sounds like. It sounds like this. I think your audience will enjoy this. I'll just read the entirety of the book. Good evening. I write to you now from my secret retreat in the internetless hills of rural Massachusetts, or else I am in my custom-built survival brownstone in Park Slope, Brooklyn, or else I am on the high seas, cruising on the luxury passenger ship Hodgmanic. I'm sorry I can't tell you where I am. For reasons of safety, my location must be kept secret, even from myself. But it is good to write to you again. So much has changed in my life since I wrote my first book.
John.
The areas of my expertise.
If I may. I love your book.
Yeah.
I've read your book.
Oh, well, then you don't mind hearing it again.
Well, I would want to hear it again, but I don't know if we have the time to read it in its entirety because it's 300 plus pages.
Well, wait. This is a podcast, right?
That would be a pretty good treat.
Yeah, what are you saying? There's no rules?
Yeah, look, I know it's like, it's not like you got another podcast coming on after this one.
We want to sell some of these, though. You don't want to spoil it all, right?
Oh, but everyone's bugging me for the audiobook, and so I just figured this would be the easiest way. Really? Okay.
It's a free podcast, though. Don't give it away.
Interesting. All right.
How would, we're delighted to have you here, John.
I'm delighted to be
here. You're drawing pictures.
Yeah.
Read some words.
I could talk all day long.
But we've beefed up security here recently.
I noticed.
And you just appeared.
They waved me through.
No, I don't understand how that happens these days.
I got a ticket.
Did you?
A ticket to?
A ticket to your podcast, the live podcast taping.
We don't have tickets.
Oh, yes, you do. I got it through my credit card.
I don't.
Yeah, my credit card has all kinds of perks. Like, I'm not a sporting fellow, but, you know, if I wanted to go see a sports thing.
Exhibition? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like a sports contest?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Where guys throw things?
I just call up my independent concierge at my credit card, and they get me a ticket. And you know where my ticket is?
Where's that?
Well, let's say I go to a New York Jets game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. You know where my ticket is?
Where?
Nick Mangold's shoulders.
Wow.
Wow.
He's a player on that team.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
He's in your book a lot, too.
Yeah, I get to watch it. In to the Ragnarok.
Can I stick around until next time?
Absolutely.
All right, yeah. Maybe we can talk about the coming nerd jock convergence then.
Okay.
Okay.
But right now, I don't know if you guys mind a little plugging, but I'm doing some, you know me, I loathe advertising.
Yeah.
But I'm doing some work with this company, this credit card company, and it's really amazing. Chuck, do you remember what page it's on?
Are you talking about the Diners Club?
It's not just a Diners Club card, you understand. It's a special, it's the Diners Club POFH 9x Diamond card.
Because you had the Amex Black and you said, forget that.
Boring.
You had the literally platinum card.
Yeah.
Which you put your gum on.
Right. Because it's platinum.
Sure.
Because you can put the gum on it and get it off very easily because of the nature of platinum.
But now you have been upgraded to the 9x Diamond Diners Club card.
It's not even a card. It doesn't even take the shape of a card.
I know what it is, but I'd like you to explain it.
It takes a shape. It's a feather. You actually get this beautiful feather in the mail. And you carry it around with you. Here, I have mine here.
It's spun from gold, is that right?
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, it's nice, right?
Yeah.
And then when you want to make a purchase, like you don't have to like hand over your card and have the guy put it in the thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. You go into a store now and you want to you want to buy something that's very expensive and you want to treat the person like they're human garbage.
Yeah.
You used to be able to just toss them their card and then look away like you don't care. Now you have to swipe your own card. Like, I can't live like that.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I have this 9x Diamond POFH card that isn't a card. It's a feather. This is a beautiful golden feather, and I just carry it around with me. And the purchases are, like, automatic. So if I want to buy something with it, I don't have to give them a card or anything. I just take the feather out, and I just lightly touch their cheeks with it 2 times. And then it belongs to me.
And you point out that some men have even met their wives this way, correct?
Yeah, exactly so. Because the thing about having the feather is not only is it beautiful and thus reflecting you as a deranged millionaire's love of beautiful things in the world, but it allows you to treat other people in the most humiliating way possible, which is really all a deranged millionaire really wants. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it has these amazing perks. I told you about the watching a Jets game from the shoulders of Nick Mangold.
Sure, right? The ticket to anything.
Obviously, you have a lot of travel services because deranged millionaires like me like to travel around quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the airport, you have access to special lounges.
Well, like what?
Well, not like the Admiral's Club, right? Or you know, but like a really special lounge. Like all you have to do is, like, you wouldn't even know that it was even there. So he's behind
I'm not even familiar with the Admiral's Club.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's where the admirals go before flying the planes.
I mean, okay. That's sensible.
And they drink grog and they sing sea shanties. And then they fly. Really? Okay. This is super secret, like super exclusive lounge. And you have to find a Chili's to go.
Yeah, Chili's Express.
The Chili's Express, sure. Or whatever it is.
Well, which one? Those are two very, very, very different things.
The important thing is don't go to the seating area.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the big refrigerator bank where they have all of the different tacos and quesadillas.
Like the pre-made ones.
The pre-made stuff,
okay.
Right. And then you just gently brush your feather across a particular quesadilla. I can't tell you which. And then that slides back. And there's a secret door into the special lounge.
Huh.
Did you know that?
I did.
And they have leather chairs, a full honor bar, a Japanese soaking tub, and all of the Chili's Express food you can eat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But this time it tastes like actual food.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
It's really good.
It is a special club.
Yeah.
What else does this card get you, John?
I could go on and on. There are just so many perks. If you are a fan of the theater.
Who isn't?
Yeah. And you don't. Like, you have a hard time getting tickets to the Broadway theater, right?
Right.
Well, let's say you get tickets and the show's terrible. Like, now you're not going to go back.
Right.
But what if you could call your concierge and have them call Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright David Lindsay Abaire and make him write a new play to your specifications, maybe even starring a character based on you.
Wow.
Right? And all of a sudden, that's in the Broadway theater.
Wow.
And not only do you get the best seats in the house to that particular show, you get to watch as the ushers kick out the people who were sitting in your seats before you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's gratifying.
And are we talking about a good theater or a theater?
Oh, the best.
Huh.
Oh, the best. Only theaters that are named for corporations. So
okay.
We're talking about the good ones.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
American Airlines Theater,
mm-hmm.
Foxwoods Theater, Chili's Express Theater.
Right.
Yeah. That's
which
where
is in the round. If
that's,
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's in the round. Oh. That's where Book of Mormon is moving to. So,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
And what if you don't have someone to go with you? Well, you just call a concierge, and they'll set up someone to go with you. Could be Lawrence O'Donnell from MSNBC's The Last Word.
Mm-hmm.
Could be James Spader.
He's huge right now.
Could be Lonnie Anderson or any one of a number
wow.
of stable of celebrity pals.
Wow.
That will go with you to see the show based on your life.
Lonnie Anderson.
That David Lindsay Abaire had to write for you.
So do these people sign up to be a pal, or are they kind of corralled into this by the credit card company?
Usually there's this, like, they've done something in their past that they would rather not
gotcha.
People know.
I understand.
Or
I understand.
They've racked up terrible debts, or you know, maybe they're just trying to plug The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm. Former deranged millionaires, some?
Yeah, there might be people, but that won't ever happen to me.
No. Of course not.
No, that'll never happen to me. What are you saying? I'm not concerned about that. Here's the best thing, and I'll leave it with this. After 5 years of membership in good standing, premium feather holders will be visited in their bedroom by an old man. Yeah. You'll wake up, and there'll be a dude. He'll have long white hair.
Yeah.
And he'll be wearing, like, a white suit and a white tie. And he won't be wearing any shoes.
Wow.
And he'll invite you to go with him, and he'll give you he'll tell you to become naked, and then he'll give you a robe to wear, but the robe is like a little too short.
Of course.
And then you go in a limousine and you go to a high rise, like a skyscraper in New York City that you never noticed before. Like, was that always there? Yeah, it was always there. You were just not allowed. You were not allowed to see it.
Wow.
It's actually a ziggurat in the middle of Manhattan that you were not allowed to see, but now you can. And then you will go in, and you'll see all the other 5-year golden feather holders there. They're all wearing golden robes. You probably know them from the Chili's Express Lounge or whatever. And then the old man will encourage you to bathe in special waters and be anointed with special oils. And then you'll be told that you are among the very, very few to ever see the ziggurat and be given the very rare opportunity to apply for the Diners Club Premium Excelsior POFD card. which costs $2 million a year to join.
Wow.
And it's not in the form of a feather. It's in the form of a talking milk snake that only you that you carry around on your fingers and like, on your forearm all the time. You ever see how, like, in old Marx Brothers movies or whatever, how, like, the really rich people are walking around and their hands are sort of, like, out in the air as though they're holding a cocktail, but there's nothing there?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're holding an invisible milk snake.
Wow.
They can talk to, that they can talk to and can talk to them, but they're the only ones who can see it.
Wow.
And the other cardholders as well. So, just another 4 years for me, and I won't have to ever see you guys again.
I was going to say, do you think you'll still drop by?
Yeah, I'll drop by, but I'll keep my cloaking mechanism on so I don't have to interact with you.
I'll drop by for the next 3 weeks, maybe even.
Yeah, no, I'd like to come back and talk to you more about what's, you know.
Well, yeah, are you leaving and coming back? Are you going to, can we have your word that if you do leave, you'll actually have left, you won't be hanging around with the invisibility on?
No, I had them set up an office here at How Stuff Works as a safe room for me, and I'll just go over there and.
You're going to stay here?
I'll just hang out, yeah, and then I'll come, when you guys are doing it again, I'd love to come back and prevent you from reading more reader mail.
Perfect. What is it? Is it Tuesday?
Listener mail.
We'll be back in here Thursday because we record and then publish immediately.
Okay, great.
All right. We'll send you an Outlook invite then.
That would be terrific.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, good.
All right, let's do this. Yeah. At least one more time maybe.
So that's it?
We'll do it one more time.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it for this show.
All right, well, our apologies to Sarah, the amazing 14-year-old fan.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
If you are an amazing fan, or how about this? If you have a question for Hodgman, we want to know it.
That sounds great.
You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can also tweet directly at Hodgman, but don't. You can visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. Or you can send us a good old-fashioned email at stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join How Stuff Works staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.